Matthew 5:4 tells us this. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Growing up, I never understood what this verse meant. I heard it, but it was kind of foreign to me. I just could never understand how someone who was mourning, who was grieving, how they were somehow supposed to be comforted. I don't understand, I didn't understand what it meant for someone to go through something such as death, immense suffering, pain, mourning. And yet, find comfort. I never understood this until I experienced mourning for myself. My brother Tyler was just like any other teenager. And during my senior year of high school in 2004 is when that verse in Matthew chapter 5 verse 4 became real. It's when I was able to fully understand what this verse means. That those who mourn shall be comforted. My brother Tyler was one of the most special and unique people that you could ever meet. There's very few people like him, and I don't just say that because he was my brother. I say that because it was true. And he had been battling with cancer for about five years. And during my senior year of high school, he was one grade ahead of me. It was during that time that my brother Tyler would have to face death. It was during this time that he would face no miraculous healing, that he would be confronted with one of the greatest fears that people have. And it was during this time that, as the cancer had come and gone during those years, that Tyler found God. When my brother Tyler was knocked down, when the cancer would have come during his high school, he would be sick from chemotherapy, and it was in those moments that he just wanted God. But after his healing, it was so strange because all of a sudden he would want nothing to do with God. And then he would get knocked down again, and all of a sudden he would want God in his life again. And then he would be healed, and he would want nothing to do with him. And this went back and forth, back and forth. Until the last time his cancer came and put him in a wheelchair. And he was carried into his baptismal tank, where he decided to give his life to Christ. And it was during this time, shortly after, that my brother Tyler would be told that he wasn't going to be healed. That not only was he going to live in a wheelchair for the next several months, but that he was going to die. And in those last few days with my brother is when this verse became real. It's when this verse began to take on new meaning for my entire family. My brother Tyler, there in that room of our house, was dying. And he went around the room just before he entered this coma-like state And he told each and every one of us, look, guys, you've got to be in heaven. And he pleaded with us just to be there. He knew that his time was short. He knew that this was it for him. And he just said, I want to see you again. I have given my life to Christ. I'm not angry at God. I wouldn't change anything about my life, he said. It was in that moment that he realized that his greatest treasure was to have God and not healing. He pulled me to him and he said, Seth, brother, at all costs, you've got to be there. And he slipped back into that coma-like state. And in the last moments before he closed his eyes, until the second coming, he began to shake his head. And my family was gathered there around his bed. And my brother, in a loud, strong voice, it was somehow like the strength just rushed back into his body. He never opened his eyes, but he cried these words out, shaking his head back and forth. And he cried these words out and he said, Jesus is my King. And then he cried out, Satan, get your ugly face out of this room. And my family just looked at each other. And we were like, what is going on? And then he shook his head one more time. And then he said it again, Jesus is my King. Satan, get your ugly face out of this room. And all of a sudden, the battle between good and evil was no longer a question. The reality of God was no longer a question. The meaning of that verse, God comforts those who are mourning, was no longer a question. Above my brother's headstone reads these words, the best is yet to come. And for those who mourn, simply speak of another truth that's to come. That truth that someday God will come. The truth that God will come at the sound of that last trumpet. I think that verse means those who mourn shall be comforted. It means that those people understand simply that the best is yet to come.
When I was a CNA in my hospital, I remember my first death. He had just passed, and they invited me into the room to help prepare him for the morgue. And I slowly walked in, not really knowing what to expect. I didn't know what to touch, what not to touch, what to look at, what not to look at. And I just remember seeing him laying there on the bed. And I didn't know what to think. They told me what to do, how to care for the body. And as we finished, we sent him to the morgue. And I went back and I sat in the back room. And I just sat there and thought, this man had just been alive and he's gone. Like, life is so fragile. And I started to cry. I didn't know him. But that's just something that really touches you, really gets to you when you see someone alive and then all of a sudden they're gone. And then the weeks started to pass. Kind of forgot about that because every time I would work again, someone else would be dying. And I'd have to go through the same process, prepare them for the morgue, send them to the morgue, go on with my night. like nothing happened. And then there was this one couple. He was dying, but his wife never left him, not for anything. She stayed by his bed, she would hold his hand, she'd sing to him, pray for him, talk to him, read to him. And he was in a coma. He wasn't responding, he couldn't move, he couldn't grab her hand back. But she was there no matter what. And I remember sitting at the nurse's station and wondering, what would it be like to lose someone that you have loved for 60 plus years? That has to be heartbreaking. And I thought, I don't want to ever have to go through that. I don't want to ever have to lose something or someone that is so dear to me, so important to my life, and have to go through all the pain and grieve and mourn that. A few weeks passed. I was sitting around with friends, and they were talking about death. And I wondered, why in the world did death come up after this just happened? And I'd been thinking about this. But as they continued talking, I realized that death had just become a word. Death didn't really mean anything to me anymore because of so many people that had passed, so many people that I had taken down to the morgue, how many deaths I had seen. It was just a word. It wasn't important to me anymore. It didn't mean anything. But as they continued talking, I realized that death was actually really important. Death really did mean something. And I started to think of all the people that had recently passed, and many of them had been young people. 6 young men that had died all around my age within a past year. And I thought, what if I was to die? What would happen to me? Where would I go? What would happen? And I began to think of the things in my life that I know I don't have right, that I know I still need to work on, that I'm these things that I'm keeping inside that I know I should probably give to God, but I really kind of want to hold on to them, keep them to myself. And I thought, what do I need to do to change that? Because if I did die, would I go to heaven or not? So I began to give those things up in my life. And there was a time when I was, like, in a sense, mourning those things. But there was a verse that always brought comfort because it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's not only talking about the sense of losing someone in your life. It's also the sense of losing these things that you're giving up to God. Losing those things that you know you shouldn't have. And just letting God take everything away. Take it all. So I began to do that. And as I was thinking back about the husband and wife, it was like Jesus was always there. I was the one that was dying, but he was always there. He's always sitting there with me, holding my hand, saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you if you need me. And as I was dying, he never left. So maybe you're grieving today and you're wondering, how long is this going to last? Just remember, God's going to wipe all the tears from our eyes. That won't last. We are going to be comforted. We are going to have the hope that one day we'll be in heaven with him because of the things that we've given up, because we have said, Jesus, you know what? I don't need those things. All I need is you. You can be my everything. You can replace all those worldly things in my life and fill them with something new, something better, something that I could have never imagined. I want to take your hand, God, and I want to walk with you. I don't want to walk with all these other people, all these other things in my life that are disturbing me, disturbing my relationship with you. Jesus, I want you in my life. All those things that are holding me back from you, I just want to take your hand and put all those other things aside. I want to walk with you, and I want your light to influence me. If you really think about it, mourning if you're giving something up, mourning is not something that should be you could feel is wrong. Mourning is where it's actually Jesus working on your heart, making your heart tender, making you be able to accept him into your life. So mourning is something that you should not dwell on. It's something, in a sense, it's going to sound weird, but mourning is something you should be happy about, because that's where Jesus is coming into your life. That's what you're, when you're ready to just say, Jesus, I'm yours. You can take it all. Eventually, we'll start seeing that light at the end. The doors are opening up. And that's when Jesus is coming to us. And he's bringing those things to replace, the new things, to replace all of these old worldly things. And those new things that Jesus has is going to outweigh in so much happiness those old things that we thought could make us happy. And Jesus will dry our eyes, the mourning will be gone, and we'll be walking hand in hand with Jesus.
It's been said, in this thing we call life, they're either just coming out of something or just about to go into something. And I found it true in my life that it seems like there are always new seasons. In the last 10 years, I have been plagued with a season that I was not used to or familiar with. And that season was one of loss. In 2003, a friendship that I had held dear for years and years came to an end. The death of a friendship. It came through a deep betrayal that injured me and cut me in a way that I did not expect. I tried to reconcile the friendship. I was hopeful that it could be restored, but nothing ever mended. In 2011, I lost another dear friend. That friend was actually on their way to an orchard to pick some fruit so that she and I could spend time canning some jam together. And in that journey, she came into an intersection where a light wasn't working and immediately was T-boned. The EMT says she died right on the scene. In 2016, I lost my father. While he had been sick for a while, neither my or my five siblings expected him to die as rapidly or without warning as he did. We got a call one early Tuesday morning, and within 3 hours, he had passed. There's a Bible text in Matthew 5, verse 4 that says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And I have to tell you, for the majority of my life, I never really understood what that Bible text meant. I would think about it. I would want to know what it meant, but it seemed to make no sense at all. How is it that mourning and loss and grief could bring blessing with it? But I have to be honest with you. After going through these times of death, death of a friendship, death of a friend, and death of a father, I began to understand in ways that I could not have understood intellectually, but I began to understand in my heart what blessed who those who mourn meant. It was in that blessing that I began to experience God as a comforter. Now, I'd known God as many things before, but I'd never known God as comforter before. Not the comforter who meets you in that kind of depth of darkness, in that kind of despair, in that kind of brokenness. If you've gone through any kind of loss that leads you to the end of yourself, you know what I'm talking about. You know that it's a loss that you can't take away. It's something that you can't make better no matter how hard you try. It's an ache in your heart that doesn't subside with sleep and doesn't get better with rest. A vacation doesn't remove it from you. It's constantly there. And in that kind of loss, in that kind of grief, in that kind of despair, that's when I began to get the smallest glimpse of what blessed who those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, meant. Because in that kind of despair, I couldn't fix the problem. No level of self-reliance, no level of independence made anything better. In fact, the more I tried to act strong and tried to act like it didn't affect me and tried to be like, I'm going to be okay, actually the worse it got on the inside. I want to propose to you that this blessed who those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, is actually the invitation, God's antidote to evil and suffering and loss in this world full of evil and sin. God, who did not create death, who did not create loss, God who actually mourns with me when I mourn, the God who Psalms 56:8 says, you have kept track of all of my sorrows and you've collected my tears in your bottle, that God said, I will not leave my children without comfort. So much so that I will bless my child when they mourn. But I want to tell you, friends, the enemy wants us not to mourn. The enemy wants us not to enter into grief. The enemy wants to keep us trapped in a way that we would try to handle and solve all the problems for ourselves. So we never experience the blessedness of the comfort of God. And it is bigger, it is more available, and it is stronger than any comfort of any other avenue I've ever met or known. So I challenge you to really take a look at Matthew 5, verse 4, to really begin to grapple with God yourself. Because I believe that saying that I started out today with, you're either just coming out of something or you're about to go into something. And I want to challenge you, if you've already experienced loss, if you've already been broken, to really consider accepting the antidote that God gives. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. That's the promise of God. I want you to consider, instead of trying to be brave and strong, instead of trying to act like everything's okay, be broken and grieve. Allow yourself to mourn. Allow yourself to be sad. Allow yourself even to be angry with God, because God can handle your anger. God can handle your doubt. God can handle your frustration. He's waiting to bless those who will mourn. Accept the invitation. When the enemy, destruction, and sin brings death and loss and destruction to your doorstep, know the promise is true for you just as much as it was true for me. Blessed are those who mourn.